If you don't have an outline book, we have some, I think, at both doors. If you raise your hand, if you'd like one, we'll get that to you. Just hold your hand up till somebody gets it, or you can grab it yourself. We're doing two things these 2 weeks that we're here. For some of us who are here for 2 weeks, if you're here today, we're doing two things too. Tonight we're doing one, the names of God. So on one side, we'll talk about that tomorrow, somewhere at the lake. And the other side is the names of God. And for those of you who've heard this a couple times, bear with me. But for those who haven't heard, earlier this year, the beginning of the year, as I was reading through Psalms, and I was in Psalm chapter 9, and I came through this verse 10 that just kind of stopped me. And it is on the cover of your outline book, "Those who know your name put their trust in you." And in the years that I've been alive, there have been some moments, a bunch, that I find myself not fully trusting God. And I suppose we're all in that place. And God just kind of prompted my heart to know his name better. David says, "Those who know your name put their trust in you." And so I thought, if I'm going to trust God more, I need to know him more. And God reveals himself to us mostly in Scripture by name. He names himself, and there are times others name him based on how God has revealed himself in a particular moment. And so this is what we're doing. Certainly not all the names of God. There's a lot, and we're only going to get to a few while we're here. But maybe it'll just whet your appetite, kind of launch off of that verse. I need to trust God more. And in order for me to do that, I need to know him more. And so maybe one way that you'll do that after you leave here is just keep pursuing understanding and learning, knowing the name of God and how he reveals himself to us through his name. So tonight, we're going to look at the name of God. I don't know, the pages aren't numbered, but about 3 or 4 pages in, Jehovah Nachem, our consolation. Now, I don't know if this is really what we would call a name of God, like Jehovah Nisi or Jehovah Jireh. This isn't one that may be considered on that par. Jehovah Nachem is consolation or comfort. And so we have throughout Scripture a mention of God who is our comforter. And so it literally refers to one who is called alongside to be our help, our support. It expresses his care for us. And there is, in some of the Jewish writings, the understanding that this is one of the names of God in their understanding, but probably something that if we don't want to agree on that, which I'm good with, we certainly know this is a character of God. And this is the nature of God. And so tonight, I'd like to look at this, the God of comfort or consolation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, there's a reference there by Paul in his opening blessing to the church in Corinth. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then later on, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For God is with me, his rod and his staff, they comfort me. We'll go back to Isaiah. We've been jumping in and out of Isaiah a lot this week. He has springboarded us into a lot of other areas in our studies. But we've talked about the structure of the book of Isaiah. And basically, it's in two parts. And so the first 39 chapters, Isaiah is bringing a message from God of condemnation and judgment. And the people of Israel, Judah, are going to face fierce opposition and invasion. They're going to be judged for their sin. God's going to bring in, like we heard this morning, Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. And so it's going to be this ongoing discipline and punishment by God to restore them. And so that's 39 chapters of dread and doom. And we talked about in chapters 8 and 9, this darkness. God says there's going to be darkness, deep darkness. The people are going to walking in darkness until a light will shine. And we saw that fulfillment in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus is born and begins his ministry, it is the fulfillment of that prophecy in Isaiah 8 and 9. So we come to the end of chapter 39, where there's condemnation, there's confiscation, the capture of Jerusalem, the people taken into captivity. And chapter 40, verse 1, is the second part of Isaiah that completely shifts to hope and promise of a deliverer. And of course, we know Isaiah spends most of his prophecy revealing to us the Messiah that's to come. And so in chapter 40, when all of this changes, we read these words, comfort. Comfort ye my people. So after the sentence of wrath was placed on them, and it was coming for sure, they were going to go through it. But even in the face of that, God now speaks a message of hope. Comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. You seeing some New Testament in here? Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level. The rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. That's not just a thing. It's a person. All flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Verse 8, go get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, recompense before him. And he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And his prophecy, of course, goes on and on. But here we have this promise of a comforter. There is one coming who's going to bring you peace and bring you salvation and deliverance. The Greek word is paraklesis, one that is coming to your aid, one that's going to bring encouragement, one that's going to bring hope to you. And so we fast forward 700 years. And we find activity after 400 years of silence, there were still prophets that were speaking for God, and there's still history going on. But 400 years before we turn the page into the New Testament, there's no revelation of God that we have recorded. But then God breaks into the scene, and he begins to stir things up, and he sends angels and says, the time now has come. The Comforter has come. You know, we sing that song in our hymnals, The Comforter Has Come. I don't know if you ever pay attention to it, but all of the verses aren't talking about the Holy Spirit. The chorus talks about the Holy Spirit, which is why we kind of focus it that way. But if you pay attention to it, most of what is written there is talking about Jesus Christ as the Comforter who has come. And that's what Isaiah is saying, and now that's what's being brought to the attention of these people who are just walking in darkness, like Isaiah said, and now a light is shining. There's a man in Luke chapter 2 who has always fascinated me. There's not much said about him, and we're not going to even talk much about him at all tonight, but his name is Simeon. And it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. We'll start and read some of these verses. So Jesus is born, the shepherds have visited, and it's just days later that we read, when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, doing what? Waiting for Isaiah chapter 40 to come to pass. He knew it. He waited for it. He hoped for it. He prayed for it. God, the consolation, the comfort that you have promised, our salvation. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And so when Simeon's praying here, my eyes have seen your salvation. It's not just this ethereal thing or this concept. He's holding salvation, this baby. And the Holy Spirit reveals to him, this is the fulfillment of my promise. This is the Comforter. So Jesus is born, growing. He's now an adult. His ministry begins 3+ years that he is teaching and preaching. He's proclaiming the kingdom. He's performing miracles. He's healing the sick. He's forgiving the sinner. All of these things that we've already been looking at this week in the ministry of Jesus. And he's teaching his disciples and trying to help them understand what's going to come next. And he knew what was coming, and he knew it was going to rattle them. And so slowly he began to unfold the plan of the cross and the suffering, death, resurrection. And they really were having a hard time grasping and understanding it. And he just kept on in his kindness, just trying to bring them in and prepare them for something that would devastate them, And it did. Until they began to remember, and until Jesus in his resurrected body began to come back and appear to them, and then things started coming into place, and the revelation of who Jesus was began to explode in their understanding. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is spending some intimate moments with his disciples. And this is the beginning of this chapter where Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, believe also in God. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he goes into a little bit more and some conversation back and forth, trying again to answer questions and assure them that this isn't the end and there's a bigger plan, and there's something in the future. And then later on in the chapter, verse 15, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another helper, another consoler." And so, again, we have to just rewind a little bit. If the Father is going to give another one, we know that he is, Jesus is one. So there are two comforters that we're told in Scripture. Jesus says, "I am the comforter, but I'm going to leave you." Well, that's no comfort. We've been leaning on you. We've been depending on you. You've been our strength. Whenever we ran into problems, we knew where to turn. Whenever we faced opposition, whether it be man or spirit, you were the one who bailed us out. You were our confidence, and we always knew that you stood behind us. It gave us courage. It gave us the ability to live for you and to serve you and to stand before those who would bring accusation. And Jesus talked about all of those things. But here he says, "I'm going to leave, but I want you to take courage. I am sending another one." And the language, the original language is, "I'm sending you another one of the same kind." That's literally what Jesus is telling them. And so the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, equal all three, and he is the same essence and the same person and the same God as I am, and I'm going to send him to you. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the helper," or the comforter, the consolation, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." We can go on a little bit further into Acts chapter 2, and I'm just about done, and Pastor Guy is going to come up in a second. But in Acts chapter 2, all of this now has transpired. Jesus went to the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. He's appearing to the disciples, and he's just about ready to ascend into heaven. And he's talking again to his disciples, and he says, "I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait." And no idea what that meant. But they went to Jerusalem, and they waited. They were in an upper room, and they began to pray. But Jesus says, "I'm going to send you the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will empower you to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And really what Jesus is saying in that is he is going to empower you to live your life for my sake and to die for my sake, because you're going to. And apart from the Holy Spirit, You have no power to live a life of service and mission. And so I'm sending you out, but don't go anywhere until you receive this power from God, this Holy Spirit empowering, because in order for you to live your life and accomplish the mission, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's same for us. We've been commanded throughout the book of Acts. We see this playing out where the presence of God and the power of God is being revealed by the Holy Spirit. We have the commands and the teachings of the apostles and the epistles that were written, the letters that we have today to read. And this is the same for us today. We cannot fulfill the commission of God that He has given to each and every one of us, wherever it might be. Like this morning, it may be in the palace of a king. It may be in a small apartment raising kids and cleaning dirty faces. And teaching them and getting them off to school, where whatever your mission is that God has appointed for you, you need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Yes. that it is something that has eternal, lasting value. And we need to recognize that without God, without the Comforter Jesus, and without the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing of lasting value for the kingdom. And so we are desperate for the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is played out in Acts chapter 2, where they're told to wait, and the power of God falls in that upper room, and it stirs up an entire city. And we see the power of God displayed throughout the book of Acts. This, you know, the book of Acts, some headings in your Bibles and some say it's the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. So all of the activity, all of the miracles, all of the works of God and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and salvation, it's all being worked through the Holy Spirit. And we attempt today to do it without. It doesn't work. And so we too are told to pursue the power and the presence of God. And He reveals Himself today. One of the ways, and a primary way, is through the working of His Holy Spirit. I'm done, but I just want to give you an ending note. And Pastor Gary is going to have to backtrack, but I want to leave this with you because it might wrap some things up. Let me just say this. I'll just tease you with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18, where Paul gives that church and us today some instruction, also some hope, because the first advent, the consoler, the comforter was born. There's a second advent. And we today are like those who walked in darkness before Jesus was born and a light has shined. We today are not far off from that. We're walking in a dark world. We're walking in a place where we are waiting for the second advent, for Jesus to return again. And while we journey through this life, while we're struggling and battling spiritually and otherwise, while sometimes we feel like we're just up against this oppression and confrontation from the devil, and we're just saying, God, like Simeon, when are you going to come and bring consolation to us? And Paul gives us a little bit of this future event when Jesus Christ is going to return. And he talks about how there's going to be a shout, and the trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise. Those who are alive will be caught up together with Him in the air. And so he goes on to describe that. And how does he end that with the Thessalonians? Comfort one another with these words. There is another advent. There is going to be another appearance of Christ. And while you're walking through this world, like Simeon saying, God, when? Paul says, here's some comfort for you, like Isaiah preached to God's people in the Old Testament. There is a comforter. There is a consoler. Jesus Christ is returning. So hold on to the promise of his salvation. Pastor Gary, finish me up. Make sense of it.